Jeff Zito and the Celebrity Jobber Podcast. All past episodes available at celebrityjobber.com. Please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, leave a review. Stream us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can check out our new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/@celebrityjobber. Comedian Louis Black had a completely different occupation before stand-up comedy became his thing. We'll talk about that, his big break, his first job. And what are you talking about on the road these days, Louis?
I'm going to be talking about how wonderful things are and how great it is that we can get together. We're all living in the same reality now, and so isn't that nice? I'm going to talk about the fact that we basically, if we don't decide on what reality is, so, you know, they talk about, you know, democracy and not having democracy. Forget it. We don't have a reality, jackasses. Okay? That's like really important. That's what you learn when you take LSD, all right? You have to know what reality is, and we don't. We can't agree on it. So I talk about that. I talk about the fact we're, I talk about my parents and what it's like when, to live with the folks who live to be that age. You know, I tell folks the secret of their longevity, and then I go on about what's going on in the country, because a lot of our headlines are punchlines.
Comedian Louis Black, my guest this week on Celebrity Jobber.
The Celebrity Jobber Podcast with Jeff Zito. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. Check out all our past episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you pod. What if these celebrities weren't famous? What would they have become? What was their first job? We're about to find out.
Hey, Louis.
Hey.
How are you?
Every day more joyous than the last.
Now, it was a few years ago, but weren't you telling me that around the holidays you purposefully book a trip with friends because it got you out of that holiday get-together with your mother, who was apparently an awful cook?
Well, that was part of it. Part of it was to get away from my friend's mother couldn't cook. My mother couldn't cook. There's no reason to go home for Thanksgiving. And also, I discovered the other thing that's great is it makes Christmas seem like more normal, because you don't have that 4 days of psychotic, you know, Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving. It's Christmas.
Right.
Let's do another 12. You know, let's play all of the. Let's destroy Christmas in 4 days.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that they put those two holidays so close to each other, because, you know, I always feel like there's a reason you only see those people twice a year.
It really is. There's a level of madness.
Yeah.
It's why we Jews move Hanukkah around, so that it makes things a little bit better.
Yeah, like a floating holiday.
I can't remember when it was.
So that's good. So tell me, Louis, you grew up outside of D.C., correct?
Yeah.
And
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yeah. Silver Spring, Maryland. Can you tell me about Silver Spring, Maryland? How was that town growing up when you were younger?
It was actually great, because it was the beginning of the suburbs, so it hadn't really, you know, there was still farmland around there. We had places we could play football and stuff. You know, we had, it was that thing. It was great to grow up there. It would be, you know why? Because we had a middle class.
Right. right.
And I realized that people get upset because Biden talks about that a lot, but it's kind of really important. I'm just going to tell people, I never worried about what other people had, because we were middle. Everybody was middle class.
Right, right.
And there were a few people who had a lot, and they were hiding out. I don't know where they were.
Do you think being so close to D.C. growing up in an area, you know, close in proximity to Washington, D.C. got you interested in politics?
It got me interested in politics and interest and realizing I was never going to get involved in them.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was a great place in terms of being brought up in terms of that, because you really get a sense of, I think that's part of the problem in the country is for all these people yelling and screaming about the government and all of that, they've never been to Washington.
Right.
So they have no idea.
Right.
There's actually a history to all of this, and it's kind of extraordinary, and it's really nice. And but you know, you really learn quickly as a kid what level of jackasses we elect to this to go to this place that's so nice. You really need to elect people who know what they're doing.
Right. Tell me about your mom and your dad. What did they do for jobs growing up in Silver Springs, Maryland?
Well, my mother taught for a bit, and then she couldn't deal with the bureaucracy, so she ended up substitute teaching, which made her kind of a moving target, so she didn't have to deal with. She substituted at the school I went to.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But she was so sarcastic that it never got in the way, because it would basically, they come out of class and say, you won't believe what your mother just told this kid. You know, I mean, it was stuff like the kid goes, why should I learn this? And my mother said, because when you graduate in 2 years, and you don't go to college and you're at the Sears down the street, look it up, so you don't remember. And you're pumping gas into my car. I don't want to have to stand here and say I told you so.
Right, right.
And my father, designed sea mines.
Oh, wow.
Which are kind of a protective weapon, to protect harbors. And then when we mined Haiphong Harbor, we started using it as an offensive weapon. And he couldn't abide that. And because that's why he was doing it, because it was defensive. So he retired at like the age of 63 or 64 and began to make stained glass.
You know, I mean,
and then became a painter. And if you want to see the last special I did, my father's one of his paintings is the backdrop.
Oh, really? Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And what's really even cooler is on my website, lewisblack.com, we sell two T-shirts with my father's designs. We call them, well, they're designs. They're not, because we moved the painting to the T-shirt.
Right.
And they're great. And all the money, except what it costs to pay the folks who were helping us out at the website, all the profit goes to charity.
So, Lewis, your parents are very bright people, very educated people. Was there ever a point when you said to them, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm thinking about becoming an actor or a stand-up comedian? I mean, were they supportive, or did they say, Lewis, come on, did they discourage you?
No, my father's the one who got me into theater. So it was, he was supportive, because he really, I said, he's the one who created the Junkie. I'm going to see these plays with him, and then became kind of really interested in theater and then wanted to write plays. My mother, however, was like, if you're not going to be a doctor, get into health insurance. That's where the money's going to be.
She's smart. She's smart.
Right.
An incredible gene pool, too. Both of your parents lived to be over 100 years old. This has got to,
yeah.
I mean, you're just a child, really, in the sense.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to people what it's like when your parents grow to be over 100 years old. But to make it, to give you an idea of it is I had to actually have a discussion with my mother, was telling me when I should take Social Security. Okay, that'll give you an idea. A 7-year-old should not be talking to his mom about that.
Tell me about college. Where did you want to go to college? Where did you end up going to college? And what was your major?
I initially wanted to go to a bunch of schools. Like, you know, there was, I really didn't understand what I was going to school for initially, but I applied to all these places, and then I ended up not getting into any of them. And so I went to the University of Maryland for a year, and then transferred to the University of North Carolina. And I knew at that point, if I'd known earlier, once I kind of didn't get into the schools that I wanted to go to, like Brown and Amherst, Williams, all of those kind of places, because I'd done pretty good in school, I realized I really wanted to do theater, and ended up at UNC because they had a good theater program.
So what was your idea when you were in college, you're majoring in theater? What were you thinking you were going to do when you got out?
Well, if I had any real common sense, I would have thought about killing myself, considering you really make nothing at it. Really, what I thought I'd end up doing is teaching, that I would end up teaching and writing plays.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
And, I mean, I liked it. I liked it enough to want to talk about it, and I wanted to write. And so that was really what was the direction. And then I had a play that I wrote when I was young, when I was in school. I wrote a musical with a friend of mine that opened. It was the first play performed at George Washington University, at a new theater there. It opened the theater. And then the next year, I wrote a play with a bunch of students that was hugely successful. And then I was hooked, and I got into drama school at Yale.
When did stand-up and comedy enter your life?
As soon as I turned on the... it entered my life when my parents had nobody knows this, Nichols and Mike Nichols and Elaine May. They had an album by them, and then I started tracking comics on the Ed Sullivan Show. And whenever I could see a comic, I'd watch a comic. I didn't think I'd do it. I was just fascinated by what they were doing, and I like laughing. And my friends were very funny, and I kind of started doing it as a way in which I could get my writing out there.
Oh, okay.
But I never thought of it as like it was going to be a career. Because I really thought I was going to be in theater.
Wow. What was your first...
And I did theater till I was 40.
Wow, okay. What was your first job? Like your very first job, you know, even as a kid, or even if you got out of school and you were working, what was it?
My first real job when I was 16, the summer job, was as a... We had a friend who had a vending machine company, and I cleaned out the freezer at the vending machine company.
Okay.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds it.
To keep to keep the refrigerator clean. And then my first job that I had the summer that I graduated, I worked for the post office. In the post office, sorting mail and stuff.
They have that going postal thing for a reason, I guess, right?
Yeah, they do. And I was, but it was, whew, I was working from midnight till, or 11 until 7 in the morning. That was crazy.
Yes, I would imagine. What do you think it was, your big break? I mean, you know, we're talking about you were, you know, in writing plays and doing theater stuff until you were 40 years old. But can you remember a specific event or series of events that led for you to be, you know, Lewis Black, you know, people that we know?
It wasn't happening in playwriting, but I kept doing it. I ran a club in New York with some friends, and we did a lot of plays there. And then I would get up before we would do these performances, before we do the plays, and I would basically introduce them. And then I started, and I was doing comedy while I was doing that. And then I started doing, we had a show on Saturday nights at midnight that we do for friends that I was doing comedy there, and people started to like the comedy more than the plays.
Right.
And then I kind of began to be what really, you know, I ended up doing. And then I started working at clubs around the city, and eventually started going on the road. And folks were always going, you know, how come more people don't know you? And I kept saying, well, find me an agent.
Right.
I had no agent. I just kept kind of doing it and was still writing. And then Liz Winstead, who was the really who originated The Daily Show, got in touch, and I became one of the first people on it, and that's what really broke everything open.
That was it, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. You had that segment, and that's when I first heard about you. And I gotta say, Lewis, you're just. I mean, you're just a naturally funny guy. We could be having this serious conversation about Lewis Black, This Is Your Life, and it's just certain things, certain spots, you're just very funny, and really looking forward to the performance over at the Mahaffey Theater. It's on December 14th. There's a great new restaurant that just opened up there last Thursday, so hopefully they'll treat you to a nice dinner there.
Oh, very good. That sounds great. That's probably my biggest secret is how important food is.
Oh, it's important, baby.
Oh, it's like it's the most important decision I make all day is what I'm going to eat.
You haven't even finished breakfast yet, and all of a sudden you're trying to figure out where you're going to have dinner.
Exactly.
Man, a real pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to seeing the show December 14th, the Mahaffey Theater in St. Pete.
I hope to meet you afterwards, and thank you.
By the way, a list of tour dates up on lewisblack.com. He is touring solid between now and May. And like he said, some of his father's designs on T-shirts, you can check those out. Really great talking to Lewis. Just a naturally funny guy. He was a junkie, a theater junkie, thanks to his old man who got him into the theater. And, you know, that became his passion at an early age. Continued to do that into his 40s. Comedy didn't come until much later. Talked about his big break, which was getting that segment on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And his first job, his friend owned a vending machine company. He cleaned out the freezers. And then after college, he went to work at a post office. Good thing that didn't last long, because I don't think Lewis Black has the temperament to be working for the United States Postal Service. Things could have ended badly there. Great, great speaking with him again. And thank you for listening to another episode of Celebrity Jobber. Subscribe. Please subscribe. Rate us 5 stars if you would. Leave a review. You can stream us on every podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, wherever you pod. Past episodes on CelebrityJobber.com and our YouTube page, youtube.com/@CelebrityJobber. Who knows, if Lewis Black didn't make it in comedy, you might have heard him on the news going postal. Probably not. Just a joke, folks. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm Jeff Zito.